Yo, Chad, what if I told you there's a platform that could completely revolutionize your hiring strategy in a matter of hours?
Yeah, I'd call bullshit.
Well, it's not bullshit with AI for jobs powered by our friends at This Way Global.
Okay, I'm listening.
While everyone else is fishing in the same old talent pools, AI for jobs can source over 160 million diverse candidate profiles. This Way Global has established unique partnerships with over 8,500 trusted diversity partners.
So wait a minute. All of the hard on the groundwork is already done.
That's right, cowboy. You can discover 300 qualified candidates per job rec instantly.
Wow.
It's like having a candidate sourcing magic wand.
Dude, if you had a magic wand, you would have Mexican pizzas all day.
Stop distracting me, Sowash. AI for Jobs advanced matching algorithm analyzes past applicants using trillions of historical matching events and over 1,600 data points.
Now that is what AI should be doing, saving recruiters time on sourcing while they provide a white glove candidate experience.
Let's wrap this shit up. I'm hungry.
Listen up, kids. Revolutionize your hiring process today by jumping over to thiswayglobal.com and checking out AI for Jobs, where you can learn more about how to leverage AI for your recruiting instead of just writing poems and grocery lists.
That is thiswayglobal.com. We out.
You already know that Sovereign makes the world's best resume CV parser, but did you know that Sovereign also makes the world's best AI matching engine? Only Sovereign's AI matching engine goes beyond the buzzwords. With Sovereign, you control how the engine thinks. With every match, the Sovereign engine tells you what matched and exactly how each matching document was scored. And if you don't agree with the way it scored the matches, you can simply move some sliders to tell it to score the matches your way. No other engine on Earth gives you that combination of insight and control. With Sovereign, matching isn't some frustrating black box, trust us, it's magic, one-shot deal like all the others. No. With Sovereign, matching is completely understandable, completely controllable, and actually kind of fun. Sovereign, software so human, you'll want to take it to dinner.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Who's ready to laugh? What's up, everybody? As always, this is the Chad and Cheese Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joel Cheeseman, joined as always by my fearless companion, Chad Sowash. Ew, Chad, how are you?
Dude, I can't get fucking Dream Academy out of my head, man.
I know, it's an 80s kind of day.
Killing me.
And we are honored to welcome leadership speaker, comedian, social media icon, YouTube star, David Horning to the show. David,
woo!
Welcome.
Social media icon with 250 Twitter followers. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. That's because you're selective. I appreciate that. There are way too many bots out there, and most of those comedy bots, they're for shit, dude.
Taking everybody else's jokes.
Taking the jokes.
Comedy bots.
Russian joke-taking comedy bots. God damn it. That's, yeah. Anyway. So, David, let's go. Give us a little Twitter bio. I mean, we've already said a lot about you already, but give us a little Twitter bio.
We've raised the bar pretty high,
what
David. Please impress us.
No, I help leaders adapt to change, manage stress, engage their teams by using humor effectively in the workplace. Ooh. So I'm a comedian, humor consultant. I do a podcast and I'm a leadership speaker. So I speak on leadership.
You haven't been doing this long, though, dude. It's like 2018. What did you do beforehand and why did you or how did you get pushed into this segment? How did you get into this path?
I wallowed in a lot of bombing and failed attempts at speaking. I got into the speaking industry after doing comedy. I started in comedy in 2012, and then I moved to Ohio because I was like, oh, I can help people learn how to laugh rather than just making them laugh.
Where in Ohio?
Cleveland.
Yeah.
They need it in Ohio, dude. That fucking place needs comedy more than any place needs fucking comedy.
East Sider or West Sider?
Jesus. West Side.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
You had me till that.
Do you have a tie to the East Side?
East Side, University Heights, yes.
Did you go to Case? Or?
No, I moved there as a young professional, lived there for 10 years, still have quite the affinity for the mistake on the lake, and still root for the Browns, which has actually paid off
as
this year.
As a young professional, he was a bum living out of a cardboard box. Come on.
Oh, that was your place. It's been designated a historical landmark here.
There it is. Good job. Good job.
I was living with Bone Thugs and Harmony.
All right.
So anyway, back to my question. Jesus, how did you get into this? And then how did water cooler spring up out of this?
Yeah. So so when I first started speaking, I did a lot just like, oh, happiness. You know, you can make your teams happy and you can be happy. And that's such a broad just... So I had a lot of roadblocks there, and I did characters when I first started, which was as awkward and miserable
like
as it sounded.
Sock puppets?
No, I didn't quite get that far. But like, for example, I had a bit where I was this detective that like, and the message was personal accountability, and I would also, his name was Detective Dick Ransom, and he always traced like every case that he was tasked, he would trace the evidence back to himself, and he would like turn in his gun and his badge, and then I closed the bit by saying, "We've all got a little Dick inside of us." Yeah,
Dick and Ransom. Yeah, no, that goes well with the corporate crew.
Yeah, how'd you get into HR? Were you a Dilbert fan, and like how did that come about?
So I requested to speak at a couple of Sherman chapters, and then I realized the lack of humor in the workplace, especially in HR. Yeah. So I decided, oh, there's a need here, and I can take what I'm good at, which is not characters, but actually, you know, making insights and observations and kind of making connections with that, between that and more ideal workplace behaviors, which include using humor. And water cooler comedy started because of that, because if you know, I can come in with comedians and turn your workplace into a comedy club and create an experience for your team and have where they're laughing together, you know, that's an instant trust building exercise. It's an instant bonding experience, and it raises spirits and kind of gets rid of that boss and employee mentality. If you're laughing together with your managers, you're not boss and employee anymore. You're just two people who think the same thing is funny. And that's a subconscious shift that I think we can all benefit from.
So what does a client usually look like? Are these bigger companies, smaller companies? Are these banks? Are these tech firms? Like, what is sort of the normal company that wants to have a good laugh look like?
Massage parlors.
Right. Yeah. Those are the best. I've worked with some credit unions. I've worked with like mid-sized companies. I'm looking to expand into, you know, the larger corporations and really, really having an impact on culture, especially nowadays. You know, we need to laugh, and having that be part of the workplace day to day actually boosts creativity and the ability to adapt quickly to change.
So the obvious question in the world of COVID, what does your comedy look like now? What is the medium by which you are telling jokes to companies? Obviously, I would assume it has turned your sort of world upside down. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when this first started, I lost a bunch of live speaking gigs, and I was, you know, I kind of got down on myself because of it. I was like, what am I going to do? But then, oh, virtual, you know, the fact that the world technologically was heading in this direction anyway. So I leaned into it, and I kind of shifted the whole presentation of using humor at work to not only that, but using humor to find creative ways to solve problems, to create a culture of creativity, even over Zoom. You know, there are organizations that do kind of fun exercises over Zoom and play games and stuff to bond and to remind one another that we're all human. And that's kind of what I focus my program on is being vulnerable, especially leaders who are so quick to, you know, put on that facade like, oh, I'm never wrong. You know, I have all the answers. No, that's you're just like each one of us. We're all going through this thing. It's okay to say, I don't know. And to say, you know, we'll get through this together.
So in a time like this, you just got to step back and ask yourself, what would Dick do? So,
yep.
you've got like 10 comics, at least on the website. How do mm-hmm. you find the comics? Are they friends? Do you hang out like and do comedy together? How do you even, how does this band of merry men and women actually grow?
The comics that I work with are all based out of Cleveland, except Raj just moved down to Bentonville, Arkansas.
Oh,
random. But yeah, I know, right? He was like, I want to be close to Walmart. But, you know, you'll find comedians are always looking for work, especially paid work, and corporate gigs pay very well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an opportunity. I just asked. That's as simple as that. You know, I used to book shows locally here in Cleveland. We did a rooftop comedy show. I did a I'm really into food, so we would do a.
Me too.
I am a foodie, and I heard you guys talking about Pappy. I used to work at a restaurant that was chef driven. You know, the chef had won a James Beard Award, and so we put on a comedy show where we would bring in five other comics and have a course that was based off of some of their content, some of their jokes, to pair with the jokes, and then a cocktail to pair with the food. So we would do, yeah. So I'm all about giving opportunities to comedians, and you know, anything to allow them the chance to make more people laugh and to get to know who they are. Because there's a lot of really funny local comics. And, you know, nowadays with Spotify and Pandora yeah. and, you know, Sirius already, but, you know, that's kind of expanded. And YouTube and podcasts, comedians have had an opportunity to really lean into this disruption and use it.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman. I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos.
Does this allow you to expand now? Because COVID means, you know, we're doing things different. Obviously, you've had to take this online as opposed to live. But the beautiful thing is going online means you can find talent anywhere. Are you looking to do that at all? Or are you just going to try to keep it close? Because when everything opens back up, you want to have a tight band that can do things in Cleveland.
I'm leaning into the fact that I can connect with anybody from anywhere. This has really allowed us to do that. I have a podcast where we bring in comics to talk about, you know, different topics that can be considered taboo or offensive or too far. And we dive into the psychology of how they made that topic funny to prove that anybody can laugh at it.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been able to connect with comics from New York and LA and Toronto and Chicago and Houston, just all over the place. And we can just have this conversation across time and space. I was actually just in Connecticut virtually. I just gave a presentation right before this. So it gives me the opportunity to connect with more audience members and more comedians.
Well, that podcast, just so everybody knows, is called You Can't Laugh at That. So check it out.
Yeah, not safe for work, for sure.
If they're listening to this podcast, they're fine with that.
What type of comedy do companies want? I assume all these different comedians have sort of different angles or things that they want to talk about. Will a company say, hey, you know, we want to talk about like stay away from politics, or do we want to embrace politics? I assume companies don't. Is it keep it safe? You know, none of this naughty talk. Talk about how typical process and what's sort of funny. What is in demand with corporate America now in terms of getting our people to laugh?
Joel said naughty talk.
Yeah. That's real. That's real sexy. Is that how you seduce? Are you married? Yeah. Yeah. Let's get naughty, baby. Was this Austin Powers?
Easy there, David Horny. I've heard the bit.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Lean into that.
I did some research on you too.
Oh, David. I appreciate you. So, and you still had me on. That's a leap of faith.
Well, Chad had already booked
it's
you.
Too late.
So all right. You can unbook. I have been unbooked from presentations based off of my content. So
that's not how we roll.
Yeah.
That's
cool. I appreciate
we
that.
We commit.
Yeah. That's when I realized HR needed to laugh more, when I got unbooked from an HR conference. But I digress. these companies, it varies. I've had companies, you know, I always make sure to ask if there's anything that's off limits. Some will say, you know, everything's on the table. We're here to have fun. I always host the show and I bring in two other comics. And when I host, I always make sure to write content based around their company, kind of poke fun at them, poke fun at their leadership. There was a chemical company out of Ohio that I did a show for late last year.
That sounds like a party.
Yeah. They were mostly Ukrainian. And so that I didn't realize that coming in, because they didn't put that on their website. It was like, hey, a bunch of Ukrainians came together and did this. But I spent the first 5 minutes kind of roasting the CEO and the founder of the company. And they really dug that. And then I allow the comics to kind of do their thing. I'll let them know if there's any material restrictions. And that's why I give, you know, companies, if they want to choose the comics, I give them free reign to do that. And that's why I kind of have those profiles up on the website. Otherwise, I'll pick them.
It's like a menu.
Yeah.
I guess everyone has their own style, but do you typically just sit there in front of the computer? Do you point the computer at like a microphone and do stand-up comedy like from a distance? How does, I guess, visualize this for me?
Yeah, I mean, I just stand in front of a blank white wall, so it looks like I'm in an asylum and in my padded cell. And I just, you know, I have the Zoom thing pulled up, the Brady Bunch, the Hollywood Squares visual.
And can you hear them laugh? Do you have them unmuted so you can at least get feedback? Or is it sort of talking into a blank?
For the most part, it's talking into a blank, because... Yeah, every once in a while, somebody will be unmuted and a dog will bark, and I'll draw attention to that.
So is it safe to assume you would prefer the face-to-face in public, and as soon as the pandemic ends, you'll go back to that? Or do you think this is such an opportunity that you'll continue to do Zoom corporate gigs on a worldwide or at least national basis?
Absolutely. If I have the opportunity to be in Seattle physically and give a presentation in Miami later that day, I'm going to take that. Absolutely. I'm going to lean into this. Not like resisting innovation and resisting what's going on right now is ridiculous to me. You know, you just got to lean into it and say, you know, this is an opportunity, which is how I look at anything bad that happens. So I could be in front of this computer and, you know, be doing these presentations and then go live and find out that none of my new material is funny, but people keep booking me. So
do you have times when you're asked and there's a request that comes in and a company says, hey, we want you to do something for us. And you do a little research on that company and you're like, yeah, I don't want to do this for you. Has that happened? Or is it like starving comic time? You're going to take whatever fuck comes to you.
I've had somebody reach out and say, hey, we want to make our employees more compliant. What presentation do you have for that? And I was like, no,
horrible.
I'm not. Yeah, that's not me. We're not a fit here. You know, you go on a date with somebody and you can tell within the first few minutes whether it's going to be, you know, a good experience or not. That was a Tinder conversation that I swiped left on.
So I don't know a lot about comedy, but I do know that when you guys test out new stuff, it's usually in front of a live audience, maybe a small audience, and you get an idea of what's going to hit and what isn't.
Yeah.
When you can't do shows anymore, how do you test new material to see that it's going to work with a bigger audience? Do comedians just get together on Zoom and run some stuff by each other? How does it work these days?
That's one way that I've done that. I kind of use the podcast too. A lot of things come up in conversation. And if, you know, if we're laughing together, something that I said, then I, you know, make sure to go back and write that down and kind of expand on it later. I've been doing on my Facebook, just posting for the last 3 weeks, what I call the loneliest open mic, where I'm in my house alone and I'm just turn on a camera and I riff on topics that I want to talk about for a half hour without stopping myself. And then I turn the camera off and kind of piece together a video. And then I determine what's going to stay in based off of, you know, Facebook reactions, likes, shares, comments, things like that.
What's your Twitter handle? Because I've got to watch this.
Yeah, that's not on Twitter yet.
Oh,
yet.
Shit.
It's on Facebook. It's on my Facebook. Okay. But my Twitter handle is TheDavidHorning.
Talk about comedy these days. I know, you know, Chappelle and some others have talked about cancel culture, being afraid to say too much. And I imagine in a corporate environment, you're really boxed in with what you can talk about. Or am I wrong about that? What's the current state of the world and the corporate culture, particularly with comedy?
Yes and no. You're boxed in. I mean, obviously, it's good to have guidelines. It's good to know where the guardrails are. But you can operate anywhere within that creative space. You know, if you just have a blank canvas, it's almost overwhelming. You know, if you sit down and you're like, I can write about anything, go. That's almost harmful to the creative process. Whereas if, you know, say I'm speaking to a credit union, you know, and they said, avoid politics. All right. That gives me something to work with. I think with cancel culture, I think to me, that's an opportunity to be a better writer. You know, you have to know your audience. And that's first and foremost. You know, people look at comedy and from the outsider's perspective, it's just people being funny on stage. But the point of comedy is to create a connection with the audience. So to me, when I write when I do a joke on stage, it's because I had the idea, it made me laugh, and I want to share that moment of discovery with the audience.
Excellent, David. Well, go ahead and tell our audience where they can actually find you and book you and also go to this comedian menu you have out there and pick from that for their next corporate gigs that are happening.
For sure. I've been watercoolercomedy.org. And that you can contact me through the booking page. I do, you know, free half hour consultations. So kind of figure out where your pain points are and if we're a good fit, because not all workplaces are a good fit. You know, you got an authoritarian boss and you have, you know, you have a lot of curmudgeons that you work with, or the culture isn't there to support humor in the workplace. That's fine. You know, we can all use humor in our own individual way to kind of get us through there. So yeah, you can go to watercoolercomedy.org. You can go to the booking page for that. Go into the programs page. There's the comedians menu there as well. And follow me on social media, The David Horning on Instagram and Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. So if you want to connect, have any questions, anything like that, find me there. And my blog is davidhorning.wordpress.com.
You're everywhere, man.
Jesus.
I'm everywhere.
Putting out the content. I watched a lot of Gary Vee at the beginning of the quarantine.
Dig it, dude. Chad,
we out.
Thank you for listening to Podcast with Chad and Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We out.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.